Hey everyone, I am Reva and just want to take a moment and thank you for listening to our studio podcast. Although we are here in Greenville, South Carolina, we are grateful for your support to see the message of Jesus go out all over the world. In case you are not aware, we have a YouTube channel, which you can find the link in our podcast bio. We hope you enjoy this week's talk and it encourages you and it helps you to be the human God designed you to be. So with that, let's get right to it.
How are we doing today? Good. Guys, I have to tell you, on the side, I teach dance and I travel a lot on the weekends. And in the last 20 years, I have never canceled a gig in 20 years. And I was supposed to be in Kansas City this weekend, and Eric and Candace had asked me to preach, and I began to pray over today. And I felt like the Holy Spirit was going to move in such a radical way. And then the government shutdown happened. I don't know if you have heard that that's happening. And so flights were cut in like by 4% just this weekend. And so an hour before I was supposed to get on the plane on Friday, I felt like I was not supposed to get on. And I said, oh my gosh, I've never done this. But I checked with the airlines and they were giving full refunds. So I took that as a go. And so I called the convention I work for and said, hey, I don't think I'm supposed to go because I don't think I can get back. And it's important that I get back. And so I was driving home yesterday and from visiting some friends, because I had the weekend off, amazing. And I got notification that both my flights from Kansas City to here were canceled. So I'm like, wow, God's doing something today. So I just want to encourage you and be ready and be expectant for what the Holy Spirit's going to do today. Is that okay? Perfect. This morning is going to be kind of a different message. Because it's probably one of the most vulnerable messages that I hope I ever have to preach. I'm not joking. When I asked the Lord what he wanted me to share, I felt like he said, hey, why don't you put yourself on the altar? And I was like, I don't like the sound of that. And so here we go. So if you could just pray for me throughout this, it would be great. Last night I had my kids pray over me. And my oldest prayed that you guys would be filled with wonder. But my youngest child prayed and reminded me that he leads us to still waters and he walks on water. And so be ready. And I'm like, all right, I'm ready. Also, I'm a win for that as a parent, right? That they prayed that. Anyways, I'll take my wins. My life with the Lord could be described really as a beautiful story that has really high highs and really low lows. And I'm sure a lot of us in this room are the same. And But the one thing that's been consistent in my life has been the Lord. And even through him walking me out of an abusive relationship to dancing with me on really big stages to even meeting the love of my life that has incredible one-liners, holy cow, gosh, and having kids. And I joke with people because I'm like, man, the Lord loves me. And I walk in so much favor. And I kind of joke with that my whole life. Like, I'm like, hey, I walk in favor. So you should hang out with me because the Lord loves me. And because my life has been incredible. And he has walked me through all of these incredible things and been there for me. Whew. But last year, things broke for me. And it was this bout of confusion that came over me. Because it felt like storm after storm kept hitting our lives. And we had landed in this city called Greenville, South Carolina, without any family, without even knowing anyone. So sometimes it felt extremely lonely walking through this. And the more that I focused on why my life didn't look like the way that I thought it would, the more confusion came into my mind. And I felt like I was a completely different person. And I couldn't stop thinking about the disappointments. And that is where the journey began with me and God, and him revealing to me that I was being led by my preferences. And it was a journey that showed me how easily my preferences can cause confusion and overthinking and create a dark cloud of numbness, if that's a word, in my mind that quickly took my eyes off of Jesus and put them on anything but him. See, preferences are a funny thing because our preferences, when they become immovable, it starts to affect not just our brain, but our entire lives. And there are studies that show when we walk in our preferences or having to have it our way, it starts to make a significant impact on motivation and our stress responses. Have you ever heard the scientific phrase, and if you haven't, I'm not going to judge you because I'm a science nerd and I get that, but have you ever heard the phrase that says neurons that fire together wire together? Well, when we prefer things to be a certain way and we begin to have this habitual habits creating neural pathways, making those actions more automatic, which can hinder the development of new pathways, making the brain less agile to adapt to challenges. Ooh. And when our preferences become rigid, my way is the only way, it begins to limit our ability to view and adapt to new environments. Ouch, okay. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because research shows that we build our preferences through a combination of a little bit of emotions and memories and upbringing and past experiences and maybe a little trauma. And all that begins to shape what we prefer. And guess what? We all have preferences in almost every area of our lives, including how we see and experience God. And I'm not just talking inside of these church walls, but the entire framework of what we believe about him. Our upbringing, our culture, our experiences, even the questions we've asked, like, does he still heal? Is this a sin? How do we love others well? All of this starts to build our preferences on how we experience God. And over time, they begin to shape the box we tend to put God in. And for me, here we go, I've been on mission trips where I have seen God do some impossible miracles right before my eyes. And I'm a science nerd, and I love science. And so I've studied all of these incredible things that God does through the earth and how he made it and how we are just this tiny little speck in a huge galaxy. It's an incredible. And so, again, I'm like, wow, my box is big. And then I was a part of a punk rock movement. Can you believe it? Right? Okay, look at me. Back in the day before there was Hot Topic, right, where we had to go get our leather belt and ice picks and go poke our hole, like, you know, to stud our belts. I don't know if you know anything about this. It was blood, sweat, and tears, and to make a studded belt. But I watched these outcasts go to the mall and lead people to Jesus and pray for the sick and see them healed. And so I started to begin to pride myself that if I had a box that I put God in, at least it was bigger than most. Yeah, that's fun. But then I started to build this theology, my box, based on my experiences that I didn't know I was building. And my box might have been big or not, but the rooms and dividers I was putting inside that box based on different situations and experiences were actually quite small. And often that looked like God and I were good because he was doing things within the timing of how I needed them. And God and I were good because he blessed my life and I could physically see the results in my life. And God and I were good because he met me within my preferences. But the second that storm came and lasted a little too long, or a difficulty hit my life that made me not be able to see him, I would shove God into a really small box. And when the storm came, just a little bit about me, I said, it's okay, I will handle it, I will take control. And then when a difficult situation, I and me would be like, listen, I got this, I can handle it. Because here's the deal. I love the Lord, and ever since I was 5, I've loved him, and I've wanted to please him. But my preference was, I don't want to wait too long for my breakthrough, and I don't really want to trust him with my finances, and I don't want to have to suffer, so it's okay. I will fix the storm and make it go away faster. And I will take it out of God's hands. And I will justify it by saying I don't want to bother him. But that's just justification for me not trusting him. And then came 2024. And the storm kept coming and hitting us in all of the right areas, you know? The areas where I had put God in that small box. And then a literal storm hit. Do you guys remember that? That was fun. Helene, do you guys, all of that? And it forced me to take a moment and look inside my box. And what I found were really small rooms. And each one were built and decorated, painted beautifully by my preferences. And so depending on what situation I was dealing with would depend on how small or big that room was. Do you know that the actual definition to prefer something, this is so cool, is to like it best. Oh, that makes sense. To give priority to, or to put or set forward or before someone. So every time I took control to take things into my own hands, I began to realize I was putting my preferences before God. And I don't know if you know this, do you know what the first commandment is? Not to put any other God before me. And I was like, man, I am doing so well. Ministry school, all the things that I've done, and here it is 2024. And guess what? I'm not even getting past the first commandment. Dang. Pat myself on the back on that one. But what I didn't realize is that having these preferences and even what I thought were good preferences on how I viewed God, they were keeping me from seeing his vastness, from allowing him to move in my life in ways that I couldn't even imagine because I hadn't experienced him in those ways. So I didn't know. And coming into this realization brought me to repentance and forgiveness for the ways that I had let my preferences become idols. And I'm not saying desires or wants are bad. I'm not. But I am saying that when our preferences take the place of trust or how we see God or even worship him, they become idols, placing them above God. And the Israelites did this. So, I don't know if you're like me, but do you ever read anything about the Israelites and think, well, at least I'm not them? You're like, they saw amazing things and they still did horrible. Like, and I'm like, if I would have seen you part the waves, like I would not have turned from you, God, right? But then God's like, hey, you're on this journey, so guess what? I want you to study the Israelites. And then you read and you realize that you're doing the exact same thing that they did, and you just get quiet. And you're like, I don't want to talk about it anymore. But because the Lord has me on this journey and had me, you get to come along. Are you ready? Here we go. So we're going to open our Bibles to Exodus 32. Oh, yes, we're going to Exodus. Such a fun book. We're going to start Exodus 32, verse 1, and we're going to break some things down. You guys still good? Okay, because it's about to get juicy. So it says, now when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, come, make us gods that shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. So stop for a second. Little backstory. Moses is on the mountain with God. He's having a killer time with him. And so, of course, because he's having this amazing moment with God, he delays him coming down a little bit, which is great for him. But what's happening is his people are getting a little antsy because they're having to wait in the unknown. And waiting often brings anxiety, especially when you are in a vulnerable, dry space. Like the desert. And as we've seen in history, probably the number one preference for us humans is not having to wait. We don't do well at that, right? So what do? They take the things into their own hands and they say, come, make us gods that shall go before us. Remember that prefer word? In our timing, meeting our preferences. They wanted to create gods that would make them feel better now and not later. And if you're taking notes, listen to this, because preferences feel tangible. There's something that we can see and control. And that's why it's so easy to hand them our worship. It's so easy. Okay. Verse 2, let's go. And Aaron said to them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters. Yes, come on, punk rock world, and bring them to me. So all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in the ears and brought them to Aaron, and he received the gold from their hand. And he fashioned it with an engraving tool and he made a molded calf. And then they said, this is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. They made the idol from an earthly metal and made it with their hands, making it shiny. I love that because it's fun to look at, and it's beautiful, and it's something that they could hold and they could see. And it's so easy to build our trust in what we see in the natural, but we don't realize how much power we're giving up in the supernatural when we do that. And we begin to stand on false truths that make us feel better for a moment because of its illusion of fake security and control. And it begins to blind us from actually seeing that God has the solution to every circumstance that we're facing. But here's the scary part. The longer that we walk in that delusion, the more glory we give to the man-made solutions and begin to forget about the power of God. We are seeing this in society right now. Just manifest it. Just manifest it. Because your brain is super powerful. And I believe in that. But I'm telling you, it doesn't work without the Holy Spirit. And the longer that we stay in our truth and the way things have to be done in our world, then we start to blind ourselves that, oh, wait, maybe I did fix that problem. Maybe I did fix our finances a little. And we forget all the things that the Lord's done in our life. Okay, verse 5. Are we good still? All right, we're almost there. So when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. Come on, Aaron. Gosh dang. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. If you ever thought that God couldn't forgive you for things, he forgave Aaron. I just thought you should hear that. But the definition of Lord, I'm just going to remind you, is one having power and authority over others. And it's a ruler by superiority to whom service and obedience are due. So the preference of them wanting something here and now, the way they wanted to look like, ended up being Lord demanding obedience over them, having power over them. This was me. I had built a preference when it came to how God moved in my life. And how fast he did it. And because that's not how the last 4.5 years went, it caused this confusion over my mind. And it became the only thing I could think about. And it became my Lord. And it had so much power over my thoughts and over my life. I lost direction and vision and hope. I wasn't bowing down to a golden calf, but I was literally bowing down to my need to fix things and to be in control and to not miss a paycheck, because I didn't trust God in those areas, because my preference is that I grew up with not a lot of money. So my preference is to take that and hoard it and hold it. So verse 6, then they rose early on the next day and they offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat, drink, and rose up to play. Whew. They offered up burnt offerings to their preferences. Guys, these burnt offerings, they were meant for wholehearted devotion to God. And they were mimicking true worship. And it became a counterfeit of sacrifice. They were still doing their rituals that were made for God unto their preferences. They were just slightly off. And they were excited to do it. They played. Because it fed them here and now, and it brought them into comfort and peace. And they were like, yes, you are Lord. Sometimes our worship can look the same. When the song isn't our favorite, or the atmosphere isn't what we wanted, we say, man, I just wasn't feeling worship today. But maybe that's a sign that our preferences have taken the front seat and that we're offering worship that's about us more than God. Guys, I don't ever want to be in a place where my preferences become something I worship more than God. Haley Braun, she's a pastor at Bethel, and she once said, you know when you have fully surrendered to God and not your preference when you think like him in that area. We know we have fully surrendered to God when we think like him in that specific area. You scared of finances? Give. You have anxiety? Trust that he's your peace. The only thing that isn't being changed by culture or emotions or upbringing is literally the word of God. So when my preferences don't line up with the word of God, then I know that they aren't in its right place. And I need to surrender them to the feet of Jesus. And this is not a one-time thing. This is over and over and over again. Do you know what God says about darkness? He says, I am the light. Means no matter what dark situation you're in, he lights it up. And you know what God says about anxiety? He says, be anxious for nothing, because he is the peace that surpasses understanding. That's what the word says, not my preference. I promise his way is better than anything we could come up with, because his protection is more beautiful than anything I can imagine. So back to 2024, last year, at the end, I was sitting there in worship. And the Lord asked me this question. He said, do you love your problems more than me? I got angry. How dare you ask that, God? You know, I've given my life to you. I moved across the country. My whole life I've dedicated to you. How could you ask me if I love them more? And he said, what you focus on, what your attention's on, what you dwell on most is what you love. And I started flashing back. And I started seeing all the focus and my journal entries, and everything was focused on the things that weren't right based off of my preferences. And I had missed out entirely on the incredible things he was doing right in front of my face. And so this led me to repentance. Lord, I'm sorry that I have let my preference get into the way that you wanted to move. And I have to tell you something. The second, and I know this sounds crazy, but the second that I repented, guys, it was like a cloud just went off my brain. And it was like I started hearing him again. I started moving with him. And I started having hope and vision. I started creating again. And I was like, oh my gosh, one instant of surrender, one instance of repentance completely shattered the darkness and the light came in. And I was a completely different person. So I want to read this last scripture to you because this is where the Lord had me. And as he does that, I'm going to ask the band to come up. And they're going to play a song eventually. Woo! It's going to get good. So we're going to go to James 4, 8 through 10. James 4, 8 through 10. Whew. He says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. I love that. And purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and weep. Turn your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. God doesn't expose our preferences to condemn us. He reveals them to free us. And he wants to tear down those walls we've built, not to shame us, but to expand the space for his presence. It says, draw near to him and he will draw near to you. That's his promise. So you can mourn the storm. It's okay. God's totally cool with you mourning the storm. And he's okay with grieving the loss and weeping and feeling all the things. But it says, humble yourself before the Lord. Lay down your preferences. Because your way is going to be a counterfeit. And his way is actually what's going to bring life and wholeness, even if it's hard. We have to let go of our preferences because when we let go of them, we make room for power in his power in our lives. And when we stop needing him to move our way, we create space for him to move in the impossible. To bring peace to the storm, to bring comfort to the lost, to bring light to the dark path in perfect timing. It's so freeing. Trust me. My prayer today is that we stop confining God to boxes. Because we've built them because it's safe. And allow him to break those boxes wide open by letting go of our preferences so that he can move in the way that he desires, in the perfect way. Guys, I travel a lot and I'm out in the world a lot. And more than ever, we need to let go of our preferences so we create more room for the power of God. Because there's not a better solution for people than him.
why I don't care if I have to be in front of you guys and lay down my preferences over and over and over again, because it makes me a vessel to move through, and I don't care. So I asked Jacob, I called him and I said, hey, I need you to play this song for me, because I put this song on repeat like a billion times in 2024. The artist probably got so much money from me. I said, could you play this song at the end of my talk? And so he's like, yeah, but can I bring the band in? And I'm like, please. So they're going to play this song for you. And I just want you to spend time with the Lord. And I'm going to open up this, I mean, if this is you, if you need to lay down and lay your preference at his feet, because he starts to reveal things in your life that you have held above him, then I want this to be a time where we just surrender to him. So I just ask the Holy Spirit to come and be here. Yeah, go ahead.
Thanks for listening to today's talk. If you're interested in learning more about Studio here in Greenville, you can go check out our website, studiogreenville.com, and you can give us a follow on Instagram. Our handle is studio.greenville. Have a great week.